Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, hour number two. Willie Donick and Derek Mason here with you. Going to talk some Titans this hour. Later in the show, we'll talk to Joel Corey. This is normally the day that Tim Hasselbeck joins us, but he is off this week. He'll be back with us on a weekly basis starting next Tuesday. Joel Corey, who is a capologist, if you will, he will join us during the noon hour, and we'll talk about some of the issues that are going around the league with teams and the salary cap. But as we promised you earlier, it's time to check in with Forever Titan Chris Sanders. Big part of our coverage. You'll be part of our underdog group again, which is going to crank up here very, very soon. But Chris, before we get started here, I think you had a question for D-Mace. I mean, you're not with us. You're on the phone about his wardrobe today.
Hey, I just heard through the grapevine. He had on skinny jeans and some coach's shorts. I'm just saying. No, I'm just kidding. That's my dude, man.
I can say man. That he is not wearing the skinny jeans. It is a little cooler today, Chris, exactly. But the skinny jeans, you still go shorts at this point.
He was at the gym wearing skinny jeans and trying to do squats. I'm kidding. What's up, fellas? How y'all doing, man?
You can't do no damn squats in skinny jeans.
I mean, they have that material now that expands a little more with the jeans, so.
He's trying to do lunges showing his side, man. I'm like, come on, man.
I'm kidding.
How you doing, mate? What's good, man?
Nothing much, man. Just talking Titans. You know how it is.
I know, Sam. Yeah, you didn't even call me, man. I mean, you didn't even check on your brother, man. See how I'm doing, man. I'm just.
Hey, man. I know how you're doing.
At home, being a bachelor, just eating meatloaf and greens. You got to check on me once in a while, man.
Meatloaf is good, though.
Yeah. Well, I don't eat meatloaf, so.
But when you can't cook, it's just bland. I mean,
tastes like a TV dinner. So, Chris, let's start the conversation with what you're seeing, first of all, with the group, right? This is a whole new wide receiver group, essentially, right? We know about Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Right. It is Ikhine now. We've got to get used to saying that. But other than that, you know, overhauling everybody's roles, what are you seeing so far that you like?
You know, the one thing I love that I'm seeing is I like Kyle Phillips. Everybody talks about having, you know, that go-to receiver. Everybody knows about Woods. Everybody knows that Burks is going to play. But I think Kyle Phillips, me watching practice about a week ago, I just think that he's the most polished receiver out of all of them. Because check this out, when you're watching practice, and when you're watching 7-on-7, and when you're watching, you know, situational things that are going on, the quarterbacks are consistently looking at Kyle Phillips. Why are they looking at him? Because they trust him to be in the right spot. I think Burks is kind of sometimes relying on how big he is as opposed to just running, you know, the correct route and getting the defensive back off the spot and all those things. But overall, I think this group can definitely be successful.
Now, the one guy that I've been impressed with, Kyle Phillips, I think he's been the most impressive receiver thus far. And, you know, that's putting Robert Woods in the mix and Traylon Burks. I just think Kyle Phillips has separated himself from everyone else and shown that he can be a legitimate weapon for Ryan Tannehill. But Nick Westbrook-Ikhine has also been a guy that I'm not surprised by it, but I think some people are, that he's upped his game even more. I said at the beginning of the season, this is a prime opportunity for him to really assert himself as a solid number two and a guy that can be a starter on this team.
I mean, you're right, man. I mean, just if you look at all over, look at all the receivers, he's been the one that's been most consistent. And I think sometimes, you know, we try to focus so much on the sexy names. When I say sexy names, everybody knows Woods, everybody knows Burks, because he was a number one draft pick. But every time we look up, Westbrook is making plays. And that's why he's lasted in the league, because he's been consistent, Derek Mason. We know that being in the NFL, if you're not consistent, they're going to get you out of here. But just watching him, understanding how to run routes, understanding how to get the guy off the spot, understanding coverages, and coming up with the big play in tight windows. So I agree with you, D-Mace. He's been the most consistent receiver, but I think he's going to be in the mix of being that second and third receiver.
Now, what do you think of what have you seen of Robert Woods? I know we haven't seen him in games. They're going to hold him back, and rightfully so, because it's coming off an injury, and he's their number one receiver, and they can't afford for anything to happen to him. But him moving forward, do you think it's going to take a minute for him to really get acclimated to this offense and to work through that to work continually to get that knee back?
Yeah, I think he's got the offense down, but it's going to come down, you know, mentally being in the game. When I say mentally being in the game is, you know, when you start playing the Giants and the Buffalo Bills and, you know, Jacksonville Jaguars, all those teams, they're going to get up in their face and you're going to press you. So I just think that if he's confident with his knee and, you know, he can burst off the cut and not be afraid to make that hard plan, I think he's going to be okay, because we really haven't seen him. We've seen him in 7-on-7. We've seen him in practice. We've seen him in drills. But we want to see him in game action. When he gets in game action against the Giants, I think, you know, with him with the smarts of running routes and things like that, I think he can be a definite weapon for Tannehill.
We're talking to Forever Titan Chris Sanders,
guy. Why you made me sound so old, man?
hey, listen, that is the name that has been, you have coined that, okay?
Yeah.
That is yours, okay?
It's like I got to hit my hairline back real far. So.
Well, it is. You know, don't lie, it is. So.
Dude, it is gone. Dude, I looked at a picture the other day. Dude, it is way back.
Just cut it off.
Army, I would have to. No, I did.
We're gonna instead of Forever Titan, you're just gonna be known as Wayback.
Yeah, Wayback Titan. Woo! I'm gonna keep that one in my pocket. I'm gonna keep that one in my back pocket right there. Chris, the one guy I'm impressed by also is Racy McMath. Now, there's still some things that he has to learn. I thought in the game. When Willis threw him the deep ball to the left side, I think it was on their sideline. If he's a veteran receiver, he goes up. If that was Robert Woods, to me, he goes up and get the ball.
100%.
But Racy McMath allowed the ball to come into his body, which gave the defensive back an opportunity to make a play on it. But what are you seeing from him that's encouraging?
Just a better route runner. I mean, everybody knew when he came out of LSU that, you know, he was fast and he could take the top off the defense, all those things. But the knock on him a little bit was raw. When I say raw, that means, you know, running routes and understanding how to get guys out of the spot and chest over knees and getting out of your cut with a lot of explosiveness. You know, I was at practice last week and I was watching him do drills. He looks totally different than when he did last year, because when I say burst off the cut, and you know this, D-Mix, I mean, you're a great route runner in the league. You can't have a lot of choppy steps at the top of the route. Now, when he first came in, he was having a lot of choppy steps at the route. Now he's getting out of his cuts with explosiveness, and he's understanding how to run routes. But the one thing that I want to see out of Racy McMath is being consistent. You know, everybody talked about, you know, last week or the week before how good he was playing, but the practice I went to, you know, he dropped about 4 or 5 balls. So if he's going to last in this league and if he's going to be a great, you know, asset to this offense, he's got to be consistent each and every week. And that's the only knock that I have on Racy McMath a little bit.
Chris Sanders is with us. I want to hit you both with this question. When do you think we'll start to see it take shape in terms of the roles? Like, who's in on the 3 wide receiver set? You started touching on this yesterday, D-Mace. You know, what role Burks is going to be in? Is he going to be outside, slot? I think we have a pretty good sense that Kyle Phillips looks like a great fit in the slot. But how do you, Chris, how does that work, right? When you get towards this stage, maybe next week after the game on Saturday, they'll start to work that part of it out?
Right. I mean, it takes a little time, because I coach wide receivers at Montgomery Bell Academy, and what I do is I evaluate each player, and I say, okay, what does he do well? He runs the post well, you know, he runs the choice route well, or he runs the go route well. So I just think that with Rob Moore and Todd Downing, they got to sit down and say, okay, when we go a 3 wide receiver set or we go a 2 wide receiver set, which guys in this formation suits them best? Because the thing about it is, you don't want Treylon Burks to put him in a slot when you know he's not good at running choice routes. They just got to sit down and figure out what's the best role for each player. Like when we had Derek Mason, we had myself, we had, you know, Yancey Thick, and we had Joey Kent, we may have not have caught a lot of balls, but we knew our role. We knew that if it was third down, it's going to Frank Wycheck. When it's second down, I may get a pass. But the thing about it is, I was a deep ball. Derek Mason was a guy in the slot who ran some great routes, great choice routes, corner routes, and everybody just knew the role. So it's just going to take a little bit of time to take shape. But I just think that when Tannehill or Woodside or Willis gets familiar with these guys, then that's when they can take shape.
So, Derek, do you think, for example, let's just throw Racy McMath out there. Mm-hmm. You know, we're intrigued to see if he's taking a jump. But he's got to be in the game, right? Is there a spot for him when they actually put the rotation together?
I think there is. If you look at what the Titans have done over the last, since Vrabel has been there, they've rotated their receivers so much so that it truly irritates me as a former receiver. Like, why do you continue to rotate these guys in and out? Let these guys get into a rhythm. But that's the way they run their offense. It seems to work. So when you're looking at Robert Woods, Treylon Burks, Kyle Phillips, Racy McMath, and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, those guys are going to rotate through. I think if Racy continues, like Chris said, he needs to continue to be consistent. He needs to be consistent moving forward. And if he shows that he can be consistent, he's going to become a part of this rotation. Because in my eyes, I don't think Vrabel cares. Like, listen, if you prove you can play, you prove you're consistent and you're doing what we're asking you to do, we're going to rotate you in. We don't care who's in the game, you know, so much so that we saw last year, Julio Jones, who we thought should have been in the game, he wasn't in the game because other guys were showing that they could also get the job done too.
Absolutely, and Derek, that's a great point. And it's kind of like this. When you're talking about different guys having a role, just imagine going 22 personnel. You know, that's two backs and two tight ends and one receiver. So basically you do that. You're looking at a run formation. You put Racy McMath out there, you know, flanked out as a wide receiver. You got man-to-man coverage. Now you just utilize his speed, you know, even though he might not be in the three rotation with the wide receivers, but you still have a game plan to say, you know what, we're in a running formation, you know, we're going to put him out there and we're just going to let you go get it. So that might be his role. It might be three or four plays a game, but those three or four plays that he makes, he has to make when he has the opportunity.
That is going to be interesting to see what formations end up being sort of the bread and butter in this offense. Chris, before we let you go, you mentioned the NBA. Good win for you guys.
Appreciate it.
On Friday. I was curious, though, if you, being a coach on the sideline, if you're bringing back the 80s polyester bike coaches shorts to the NBA staff. I mean, I think that's a good
tie high one.
You know how everything goes in cycles, you know, style-wise. Is it coming back?
Hey, I did, and then I had my shirt tucked in, and then
with the high white socks.
Hey, you remember Mel Gray?
Yeah.
Remember he used to wear his sweats and he used to tuck his sweatshirt in.
Yeah.
I'm gonna look on the sideline, and I'm gonna have a cigarette pack in the back. You know, it'll be black and mild. That's what I have.
I'm thinking of my junior high coaches, man. They absolutely tuck in the shirt.
That's
the tucked in shirt with the snaps.
Yeah.
The snaps with the pants.
Yes.
Hey, me and D Mace are 50. I think he's 49. I'm 50. So we got, you know, when we get old, man, you know, we got to
Gotta keep your pants up.
All right, Chris. We're looking forward to talking to you throughout the season.
You
good
guys,
stuff.
Man, appreciate you so much.
No
All
problem.
Right, yep. Chris Sanders for Evertight always livens up a show. Mm-hmm. He is a piece of work, and he'll be part of our Underdogs coverage as well. Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. That is coming up again this season. You can sign up today to play along with us at thegamenashville.com or the Game Nashville app. That's 102.5. Now, Mace, you've got a word before we head to the break, and then I want to tell – we're going to talk a little bit more about the wide receiver group when we come back. And then at 11:30, it's going to be Ask D-Mace. So we're going to get people engaged on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can call on the phone as well if you want to go old school, actually have a conversation. You can do that, 615-737-1025. Our phones do work. So that is going to be cool. But D-Mace, get it started.
Yes, I got a quick word for you about Cool Springs MD. So listen, all men listeners, pay attention to me now. This is the time you really, really need to listen. And I need to tell you something about Cool Springs MD. Over the years, more men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife, Daphne, along with that experienced staff, give men the treatment required to improve their quality of life. Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men of Brentwood, Nashville, and the surrounding areas in Tennessee with improving their immune system, energy levels, cognitive functions, and more. Men, we know the older we get, the less energy it seems we have throughout the day. So go hit Cool Springs MD. And they are there not only to help you with those things, but they're there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. There's no better time now to achieve a healthy lifestyle. So what are you waiting on, man? Give Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and Cool Springs MD a call today for an appointment at 615-486-3458. That's 615-486-3458. Or visit their website at coolspringsmd.com.
Jace, Willie, and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game. Coming up, Ask D-Mace. And so if you want to get your question in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, go ahead and jump in there right now. And it does not have to be a Titans question. It does not have to be on wide receivers, although it can be if you want. Anything you want to ask D-Mace. We're going to just have a fun segment coming up at 11:30. In the meantime, I want to get a little further into this. And one thing that really intrigues me about the wide receivers, Derek, is the formations. We know that the Titans want to run the ball. So what's the best way to do it? Is it two tight ends? You heard Chris Sanders even say something really heavy, two backs, two tight ends, which you don't see very often. Mm-hmm. But you guys used to do that way back in the day with Lorenzo Neal, Jackie Harris, Frank Wycheck. So that was and just the one wide receiver out to the, you know, out wide to keep everybody honest. And you can throw out of that. But I wonder what will end up being the prevailing formation for this particular Titans team. And that's something that we won't really know. But let's just take an aspect of that. If Kyle Phillips ends up being a really good slot guy, which everybody hopes that he will be, but you know what? The guy hasn't caught a pass yet. He hasn't played a game yet in the NFL. So we might be putting the cart ahead of the horse here. But to use the slot guy, that usually means you got three wide receivers in the game.
Yeah, it does. You know, I don't know how this Titans offense, because I'm looking at this receiving core, and I'm not going to sit here and say it's a bad receiving core, because it's not. It's a solid receiving core. If we had to rank this receiving core amongst, you know, other AFC teams, I don't think they would rank in the top five. But it's a solid core led by Robert Woods. And, you know, I think it could be better as the season goes. And a lot of it depends on, you know, Robert Woods, Treylon Burks, how they both.
Which are all, exactly, all unknown.
Absolutely. How they both get acclimated to playing in this offense during the season. Can Treylon Burks pick up enough of this offense where they can just put him out there and not have to worry about him not knowing what to do? Can Robert Woods, you know, go out there and play, you know, freely and not have any restrictions because of that knee? Now, early on, it might be the case where they're rotating in and out because of that. But I think as the season gets going, they're gonna depend heavy on Robert Woods. They're gonna depend heavy on Treylon Burks. So those guys it's critical that those guys show that those two can be the leaders of this room. And being the leaders of this room meaning going out there and making a huge impact during the game.
In the past few years, the Titans tend to use two or more tight ends more than just about anybody in the league. Although last year, that started to change some. In the first year after Arthur Smith, they used three wide receivers more than they had been. But still, at 59%, I'm looking at Football Outsiders, that's still ranked 24th. So I don't know if that trend is going to change, if they'll use more three wide receiver sets. But of course, one of the big keys is going to be Burks. Now, yesterday, if people missed the show, you expressed a little bit of concern right now whether he is going to be ready with his knowledge of the offense to be out there every play.
Yeah.
So you think it's still going to be a growth process where you're going to see him in situations, packages early, as he still tries to pick it up?
Yeah, because I'm thinking back, and even Kevin Dyson, who was drafted in the first round. I think they were drafted right around the same, you know, 15, 16, somewhere in there. And I don't believe, I could be mistaken, but I don't believe Kevin was a starter day one. We knew he had the ability to play the game. He had the talent. But, you know, there were a lot of other things, in, you know, that factored into it, you know, learning the offense and everything else. So I don't think Kevin was a starter day one, but ultimately, during the season, he became the starter because he proved that, hey, listen, I can play in this league. I've learned everything that you guys have asked me to learn, and I feel comfortable now. So if I feel comfortable, the quarterback feels comfortable with me and Steve, then the coaching staff felt comfortable with putting Kevin out there. I think Treylon potentially can go through the same thing. He may not be the starter game one or game two, but I think ultimately if he picks up the offense and the coordinator trusts him, and the quarterbacks trust him, then he's going to be a starter moving forward. So a lot of it depends on, how much of the offense Treylon picks up. And just because he's out of starter day one, and listen, I read these blogs and everything else about the Titans. Just put him out there. He's better than Nick Westbrook again. He's not better than Nick Westbrook Akine right now. He's not. I'm watching. He's not. Is the talent there? Absolutely.
I would
the
hope
talent
his
is there.
Talent ceiling
exactly.
is way higher.
His ceiling is higher, but at this particular time, right now, if I had to start a game right now or next week or the first game in with the Giants, he's not a starter right now. People get that through you. He's not ready just yet. He will be ready, but you can't thrust this kid into a situation and he's not ready. You know,
that's
patient with them.
That's going to be such a big thing to look for because it's hard to even get a glimpse of what it is they want to do until everything's live the first week against the Giants. And there's offensive line issues that go with it. The other aspect of this is the tight ends, right? We haven't really seen, especially in the preseason games, Austin Hooper be involved a whole lot. But if they are going to run a lot of two tight end sets, That's a critical guy, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a critical guy because he's a veteran guy. He understands the game. I think eventually Ryan gets comfortable enough with him that he becomes that guy that he looks for, not only Kyle Phillips but Austin Hooper and also Chig as well. What I'm trying to understand is this, and we talked about it yesterday with Treylon Burks. Like, okay, you got a new guy in the system. Why don't you manufacture something quick for him, get the ball in his hand, see what he can do? I don't understand why they haven't done that for Austin Hooper as well. This guy is – you went out and got this guy as a free agent. He's going to be a big part of your offense. Let's get him acclimated in the offense. Let's get him – let's design something to get him the ball real quick.
You're saying in the preseason games.
In the preseason. Let's just see how he – let's get him comfortable with everybody. You know, I know Ryan's not in the game, but just allow him to get a feel of this team. We're not talking about getting a feel of playing football. He has that. Just getting a feel with this team, you know. And we have not seen that with Treylon Burks, and we have not seen that with Austin Hooper.
They clearly don't have that as a priority, right? It's pretty obvious that the priority is let's take a look at Malik Willis. Mm-hmm. He seems to be the big focal point of these preseason games, right, overall, is let's put this guy in situations. Let's see if we can, you know, speed up his learning curve as much as we can because once the regular season starts –
He's not playing. He's not. He's
you hope you
back.
Don't have to play him at all. So in the games,
he's taking a lot
of mental
reps.
It doesn't seem like they have a sheet going, all right, I want to see if I can get Hooper in there. Let's get our new guys going. Let's get the ball to Burks. They just don't seem to have that as a priority,
and,
for better or worse.
But listen, Vrabel said it. He said, listen, we're just not going to – it's preseason. But then again, I go back to, so what is preseason? There are a lot of teams out there – it's not like you're not going to run these plays that you're running in preseason. You're not going to run them anymore during the season. You are. That's just the way it is. You only got so many of them. It's not like you can hide, 100 plays. You've ran your offense already over the last 2 or 3 years. So you designing something for Treylon Burks or Austin Hooper just to get the ball in their hands and see how they react, it shouldn't make a difference. But – you know, Vrabel, that's the approach. You know, at least that's what he's telling us. That's the approach that he's taking. And, hey, listen, if it's working, then there's nothing you can say. But I would love to have seen, Austin Hooper a little bit more active during preseason. If he's out there, allow him, throw him some passes. Design something for him quick. A simple route. Because defenses are playing simple defenses right now. Cover 3, cover 2. You can't design a couple of quick outs for him. to get the ball in his hands. And Traylon Burks.
Could tomorrow's practice be something you work on that with?
Yeah, it could be. But there's still nothing like a game, you know? Yeah. It's different. Even though you're practicing against a different team, there's still nothing like a game, you know? So
something to look for this week. When we come back, it'll be Ask D-Mace. We already have a few texts in there, but I'd love to get as many as we can in the next segment. Ask D-Mace anything. Within reason. I mean, it's got to be arable, you know. But hey, look, D-Mace is ready to take your questions. He is the man. 615-737-1025. We've got him lined up here. In the next segment, we'll fire away. Don't forget, at noon, Joel Corey will join us. We'll talk some salary cap issues around the NFL, including with the Titans. How healthy is the salary cap? And if they are running around looking at the waiver wire for ways to improve their roster, how flexible is their cap to be able to pull that off? Stay tuned. We've got a lot more coming on the show. This is Chase Willie and D-Mace on 102.5 The Game. Okay, it is time for Ask D-Mace on the show. We're looking for creativity. We're looking for texters that can liven up the show and bring out the best in Derek Mason. You can ask anything within reason. Do we put any ceiling on this, Derek, or is the canvas wide open?
The canvas is wide open, but it has to be radio.
Yes, it's got to be arable.
Arable,
of course.
Yeah.
You know, this is we're at the daytime here. This is not, you know, the overnight show where maybe even you know, there's even more boundaries to work with here. But we've got a lot of people lined up on our text line, 615-737-1025. Let's just see where this thing goes. We have done this a couple of times. We're going to do it on a weekly basis. I think this is going to be some fun. Let's start off with this one. Is that it helps if you put your name on here. This is an unnamed texter. Is that D-Mace's Range Rover in the parking lot? I just passed by and that's got to be his. Now, wait a minute. Is this one of our employees working here? What's going on with that?
No, it's not mine. I can tell you that.
Is this an inside joke? Is this somebody that knows you? I don't know. It's an unnamed texter. All right. Josh says, the real Ocho Cinco. Do you think they're trying to hide Traylon Burks in the preseason, but letting him play the whole games to get in the game shape? I feel like although the quarterback play hasn't been the best, they've hardly targeted him in the first two preseason games.
You don't hide a player. There's no way you can hide a player. This is not like baseball where you hide a player in double A or something, a triple A, or college football where you can hide the player because you got 100 guys, so you can kind of put him back. This is a first-round pick. I understand in a sense what the texter is saying, but in this league, there's no hiding an individual. I could see if he was a seventh-round pick, you know, and they saw some things in him during practice that they're sort of pulling him back a little bit in the games because they think he may not make the team, but they're going to put him on a practice squad. But this guy's a first-round pick. You can't hide him. He's 6'3". Who you hiding him behind? Derrick Henry? I mean, Taylor Lewan?
There's a lot of people can hide behind those
exactly.
guys.
Exactly. But I don't think they're hiding him. I just think there are some things that he is doing pretty good, but then I think the Titans are not fully 100% comfortable with just throwing him out there.
But you're on record as saying you'd like to see him throwing the ball.
Yeah, I would like to see some things sort of, especially this last game. Get him some quick stuff, slants, hitches, quick outs, to get the ball in his hands.
Unnamed texter, what running back on the Titans roster should I pick up besides Derrick Henry?
Hassan Haskins, I think.
You think he's worth the pick?
I think he's worth the pick.
Deeper league?
Yeah, he's going to be – he's either one of those guys late picks, or if a guy gets injured and you have to pick him up, I think a lot of it, you know, because I don't think in, you know, many fantasy drafts he's going to be picked, period. So he'll still be out there. So you start to think, well, You watch the Titans. Is he getting in the game more and more? And if he is, then he's one of those guys. Because he's not only a good runner, a really good runner, he can catch the ball out the backfield.
And you think he's a pretty good pass protector, too.
Yeah, I think he's a pretty good. I think he's picking that up. And that's one of the most important things, you know, when coaches are evaluating running backs as far as are you a three-down back? Can I put you in a game? They want to make sure that you can pass pro.
I think it's going to be a huge thing to watch is the usage of Derrick Henry and how much Haskins and Hilliard get in there, what that rotation looks like. All right, let's get to the phone. Doug is on the line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We've got some other texters lined up, 615-737-1025. We're asking D-Mace. Doug, welcome in.
Hey, guys, I'm coming out of both barrels. You said you could add something serious and something on the humorous side. My serious question is, earlier you said Treylon Burks and Robert Woods had to be the go-to guys, and you didn't mention Nick Westbrook Akina, who was there last year and had to grow up. So why didn't you mention his name? And on the other barrel, you know, Tom Brady could flex his muscles and make a coach bend and lean his way. I'm asking D. Mace, how much flexing could you do to make a coach change his offensive way of thinking? Did you lean on somebody and clear your throat and say, hey, this 5'9" dude from Michigan over here, y'all better do something? So that's my both barrels.
All right, good.
I'll hang up and listen.
I like it. Coming at us from both barrels.
No, I think moving forward, and the reason I mentioned Woods and Burks, because Akine, I think he's shown that, you know, hey, listen, I'm a guy that you can trust. I'm a guy that's going to be where I'm supposed to be when I'm supposed to be there. I'm going to catch the ball. The quarterbacks, at least, you know, Ryan has trust in him. That's why you've seen him catch, you know, his catch count went up from the previous year, and it went up last year, and I guarantee it goes up this year if he stays healthy. So I didn't mention him because he's been a part of that receiver rotation, and he's taken another step. So I expect him to continue to play well. I mentioned Woods and Burks because these are two guys that are new to the system, and these are two guys that they are going to, you know, if you go out and get a guy and you're paying him the money that they're paying Woods and you draft Treylon Burks, then you're going to lean heavy on those guys to produce. That's why I say it's going to be critical for those guys to pick up on the offense, get that rapport with Ryan Tannehill as quickly as possible. Again, I don't see Treylon Burks as a game one starter, maybe not even a game two starter, but I do, he needs to be a starter, you know, sometime early in the season.
Boy, that,
you know,
if he's not after 4 or 5 weeks, then you would really have to be concerned.
Yeah, then we're trying to figure out what's going on. And then the other part, you know, I didn't go to Michigan, but he probably meant the state of Michigan.
He said from Michigan, yeah, I from think, Michigan. But we have to clarify.
From Michigan.
Green and white all the way.
Yeah, I'm green and white all the way through and through. I'm 5'11", not 5'9". And
I think Doug was trying to give you some.
And I did lean on some offensive coordinators every once in a while. But
okay,
not
so
all
what
the time.
Was your method? What if you wanted, if you're like, look, I got something on my mind here. I see something. I want to get the ball. Like, how did you do it within the boundaries of the system here? Like, what was your method?
The thing is, you go to the side, because every time you come back to the sideline, they ask, hey, what did you see? How are they playing it? Because it's different. That's why some coaches like to go sit in the box so they can see everything from up high. And players, when we're out there, you know, we see things a little bit different than what the coaches actually see on the sideline. So when we come back, because they can't watch everybody. I may be on the far side of the field, so they can't see how that defensive back playing. So we come back and they say, hey, what are you seeing out there? Are they playing this coverage? Are they playing the coverage we thought they were going to play? And I play, what are they seeing? And I tell them, hey, listen, this is what I feel we can get them on, whether it be a slant, hitch and go, hitch, sluggo, or comeback route or go. These are the routes I think we can get them on. And they'll go back and say, okay, we'll draw up a play, not necessarily draw up a play, but we'll pull a play out the playbook and see, you know, how that fits with what we're doing. But it's not like, you know, immediately, you know, I tell them that immediately the next play is that play. No, it's typically, hey, we're going to work through our offense, and when the right time comes, we're going to, you know, that play that you may have suggested, we might run it.
Did you ever get on the phone, you know, with the guy up in the press box?
Oh, I've gotten on the phone a few times. I've been called to the phone, too. Like, what in the hell are you doing?
Get D-Mace on the phone.
Get him on the phone. What are you doing out there? I've been called. I mean, I've had coordinators call, and I've called up and said, hey, man, what's going on? I mean, you know, I'm open.
Have you?
Yeah, I'm open. I'm open 100% of the time.
7-Eleven.
Exactly.
All right, when we come back, we'll have another round of call, or calls and questions. On our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is our Ask D-Mace segment of the show, and we've got them lined up. We've got a non-football question to lead off the next segment that I think D-Mace is going to be all over. It's a good one. Stay tuned. You're listening to Chase, Willie, and D-Mace here on 102.5
The Game.
Listening to Chase, Willie, and D-Mace live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. Nick Keyser with us as well, producing today's show. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 5:35 over on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds are on the road facing the Durham Bulls, AAA affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Now, we're asking D-Mace. This is the Ask D-Mace segment on our phone line and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Here is the one, D-Mace, you're going to be all over. Who would succeed more in the others era? Michael Jordan or LeBron James, right up your alley. You being a Lakers fan, you're watching LeBron, the later stages of the career. As a Laker, you saw Michael Jordan break the hearts of your Lakers back in 91. So who would succeed more in the other era?
Who would succeed more in each other's era? Like
yeah.
if LeBron went back to Jordan's era and Jordan went to LeBron's era.
Like, is anybody guarding Jordan in this day and age
with
the hand-checking restrictions?
Probably, I mean, it's my son's probably listening because he just got in town for an appointment. So, and he's a huge LeBron fan. Like, there's like everything starts with LeBron. Like, he has started a sentence with LeBron. It's just like, I don't know how many times I heard the name LeBron over the trip, but I heard it. It's
okay.
Like he has started an argument. He'll just say LeBron's the greatest and he's better than Jordan, and off we go. But with that being said, both of them, to me, both of them would be great in either era. I don't think the younger generation understands how good Michael Jordan truly was. They see highlights and everything else, but this he changed the way the NBA called fouls. He changed the way teams play defense. It got so bad that, you know, it was called the Jordan rules. There was only two guys that ever had rules. That was Shaquille O'Neal, and maybe Wilt had them, but I don't know. Shaquille O'Neal and Michael Jordan. The Pistons had the Jordan rules, like, you're not coming in the lane. You're not.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to beat you up. Like, physically, we're going to try to just pummel you every time you come in. The NBA said, after a while, we can't have this. This guy, he is the NBA. So hand checking was taken out. All these other things was taken away. And it's made the game easier for guys like Kevin Durant and Steph Curry and LeBron James. Now, listen, LeBron could have played in the era that Mike played. He's 6'9", 260 pounds. He's just a brute.
He just would have had to play differently.
Yeah, he would have had to play differently. It would have been a little bit more physical. Because you got to – just think. LeBron James and Anthony Mason going up against each other. Tell me that wouldn't be a
Charles
battle.
Oakley.
Oh,
yeah.
Charles Oakley. Xavier McDaniel. Guys that were known for just aggressive play. You know, that's who Michael Jordan had
LeBron
to play against.
LeBron is probably bigger –
yeah,
thicker than
exactly.
a lot of those guys, even though those guys were.
But it still would have
Karl
Malone. It still would have been
Rick
a
Mahorn.
Battle. Rick Mahorn. It still would have been a battle, you know. And that's what Michael had to go through. LeBron didn't have to go. But again, LeBron would have been great had he played in Michael's era, and Michael would have been great if he was playing now.
All right, Ron is the next texter asking D-Mace. D-Mace, have you ever taken a back seat to a player you knew was better than you in a certain situation, even though the coach wanted you instead? I'm not sure I follow the question here, but do you know of a player which that happened to? But I guess, I don't know. So,
you have to, I think, as a player. And he's probably meaning, now I'm not going to take a backseat to nobody throughout the whole season. That's just not. I stand on my skills. in my ability to play the game. So I'm not going to take a backseat to anyone during the whole season. Now, there are times in the game where you, okay, I got to be a decoy. I got to do things. The ball's not coming to me. It may be going to someone else. But because I am the guy, I have to do certain things to draw the defense and make sure everyone else, everyone else gets an opportunity to make plays. And if you do enough of that, now people start to, guard those guys. I look at, Drew Bennett, a prime example. You know, when Drew, as a rookie, Drew, didn't nobody know about Drew. But, all the coverage was toward me. But after a while, they figured out, we can't leave this guy one-on-one because he's beating people, legitimately beating people. So then they started to play it a lot honestly. So I think that's what the texter mean when he said, okay, have you taken a backseat? Yeah, I have. I had to.
Who was the toughest cornerback that you ever lined up against, and why were they so tough? This is from Colin.
What is his name out of Michigan? Played in New England. Why am I forgetting his name? He's a Hall of Famer now. God, I'm forgetting his name. Defensive back. Can't remember it right now. It's eluding me. But no, he was probably
Ty Law.
Yes. Okay. Ty Law was probably.
So it's easier. You try to erase the Michigan guys from your memory. That's what it is.
But Ty Law, he was just. I mean, I played against him my freshman year at Michigan, and I wasn't playing much, but I was on the field every once in a while, and he was that guy. And then once I became a starter, he was just the guy that was. He was one of those guys. He was savvy, smart, disciplined, physical. And also he had speed to run with you down the field. So you had to work extra hard to get open. So that's the guy that, that really, every time you played, man, he was always there. He was just gave you fits. Now, I played against, Champ and all those. And those guys were great, but they weren't – I didn't have the trouble with them that I had with Ty Law. I just didn't. When I went against those guys, I felt I was in my game.
So he matched up well against
you.
Yeah,
he matched up well against – and Darrell Revis matched up well when I played them. So,
all right, David texts from Arkansas. D-Mace, what other schools did you have offers from? And had you not gone to Michigan State, what was the next option?
Have I not gone to Michigan State? Man, I can't say that. I went to Michigan State. I bleed.
There wasn't a second
green
choice?
And white. No. I could have. I got recruited by Michigan. I got recruited by Colorado. Got recruited by Kansas. I got recruited by just about every Big Ten school coming out. You got to remember, I didn't, I only played 2 years of football, my junior and senior year. It wasn't until my senior year. I had some numbers my junior year, but we were a run team. And I played a lot tight end then. But then my senior
year. You played tight end?
Yeah, I played tight end too. And then my senior year.
Usually it goes the other way, right? You go from the outside and you move in.
Exactly. But no, I was playing tight end a lot too and receiver because we ran the ball so much.
Okay.
It wasn't until my senior year where the coordinator became the head coach and – he was the baseball coach, and the quarterback was the pitcher. So it worked out well for me. Jimmy Hill, we probably was the best combo in the state of Michigan, if you ask me. So when I got recruited, it was based upon really 1 year. So I got a lot of offers, but I chose to go to Michigan State, and I made the right choice.
Oh, yes.
I think Michigan wanted me to be a defensive back. And ooh. I wasn't, I ain't tackling nobody. I'm not doing that, man. No. I played safety in high school.
I always remember Steve McNair had a great story with that, too. He said, I always told people I wanted to play quarterback. Mm-hmm. And so he said the major colleges were coming to recruit him. But mm-hmm. he said they weren't sending the quarterback coach. They were sending, the defensive backs coach or the linebackers coach. And he was like, you really want me to play? And they were like, oh, yeah, you can play quarterback. Uh-huh. You can play quarterback. Because that was a trick that a lot of people used. Yeah, they would entice you to sign saying, oh, we'll give you a look at quarterback. And then 2 weeks into the preseason, you're playing linebacker or safety or something like that. And he was like, no, I want to play quarterback, and obviously he was right. All right, we got Ricky here. Racy McMath looks like he's improved a lot this camp. Do you think Racy can play a major role for this offense? And what do you attribute to his growth as a player? Is it coaching or his personal offseason work?
I think if he and Chris brought it up earlier in the show, if he continues, if he's consistent, because he's shown flashes of what he can do, I think they like the physicality he plays with, his physique, you know, his ability to get down the field. He's probably the only guy that can stretch the field on that team, like legitimately stretch the field. But he just needs to be consistent. If he's consistent, he will find a role in his offense. And I think he's gotten better because he's wanted to. And, you know, Rob Moore is an excellent a teacher of wide receivers, and I'm sure Rob is giving him every tool in the tool belt to use, and he's taken that and he's worked on it over the summer, and it seems like he's gotten bigger, stronger, and faster. So, you know, I think if he just continues to be consistent, the sky's the limit for this young man. I'm not saying he's going to be a superstar this year, but if the consistency comes, he has the athletic ability and the traits to be a really good receiver.
Intriguing guy to watch. All right, last one. This has been a huge success. We haven't even gotten – we can't even get to all of them today, so we will come back to this again next week. It's going to be a weekly segment, Ask D-Mace, but here's the last one. Who has been your best lifelong friend that you met on the team – while playing for the Titans?
Oh, I was just about to say, just period. Chris has, Kevin, B-Hop, Blaine. And again, not that we hang out all the time, because we don't, but when I see those guys, it's just like...
Right, you have a bond.
It's just a bond we have, and it's just, we can just talk and enjoy conversation.
Right. And you know each other on a deep level, exactly. Not just, hey, we played together.
Absolutely,
kind of
we can just talk about things, you know, so, because I understand these guys got lives, and they got families, and, you know, Hoppy got kids that, you know, I think his last one just graduated from college.
It's been unbelievable to watch. Yeah. Like, he was catching balls in the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
You know,
so he has one in the NFL, one's playing baseball. I mean, he's just, you know, and his daughter's doing well. I think she's still at UT, if I'm not mistaken. Kevin has his kids. He has a younger one.
That, to me, has been what's so cool about being a major league market. Like, when you guys were playing, we had no history of that. But now here we are a generation later, and you guys have all had your footprint over our community. You know, you've got kids out there. You've got, you know, just like you were talking about there, there's history now there.
Exactly.
It's awesome.
You know, everybody knows what Eddie's doing. So, guys, just, you know, I think we have families, and, you know, you just don't have the time that you used to have.
All right, when we come back, we will talk to Joel Corey. Normally, it's a Tim Hasselbeck segment, and he'll be back with us on a weekly basis next Tuesday. So we're looking forward to his contribution, as always. But Joel Corey, excellent capologist. He's got a podcast we're going to tell you about, too, that gets into some of this stuff. Salary cap issues are always huge at this time of the year as teams are starting to construct their final rosters in the next week or so. We'll talk about it when we come back here on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, ESPN 102.5 The Game.